blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 272, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Lord, hear my prayer, and let my cry have ready access unto thee. When in distress to thee I fly, O hide not thou thy face from me. 1, 2, and 4 of Psalter 272.
wish to read out of God's holy and precious word from the Gospel according to Luke chapter 23, beginning with verse 33. Verse 33 to the end. Now when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding. The rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. Now one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that night sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. And all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And he took it down and wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a sepulchre that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the women also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after, and beheld the sepulchre, and how his body was laid. And they returned, and prepared spices and ointments, and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Almighty, all merciful, gracious, and at the same time most holy and most just God, who dwelleth above all the earth, who has created us, and who dost uphold all things with the word of thy power until this very moment, we may gather in thy house of prayer in this evening in commemoration of that greatest event that has ever taken place on the face of this world. And when thou didst give thyself as a sacrifice even unto death. Lord, thou knowest all of us and what we are within and without and what we stand in need of. If thou didst not know it and thou didst never send thy dear Son, that he may give himself in such a humble, in such a loving way in the midst of this world, O Lord, thou hast humbled thyself and to a place where no man in this world can come, because thou art also God, and thou wast able to endure that which we are not able to endure, even that which has been laid upon us because of our iniquities. Oh, give us eyes to behold this day what thou hast accomplished for thy church. And Lord, what is now the purpose? Oh, is it not to take away all the iniquity and all the sin of thine own elect? For we all as sheep have gone astray, thy servant did say, and we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Oh, dost thou not say that for the transgression of thy people he was stricken? And Lord, wilt thou look upon us then in this evening hour, when we are gathered here in thy house and others listening in their homes? And then there is here, Lord, oh, here there is room for application. For then we are each and every one of us so full of iniquity and of sin, and that there is so much room for thee to work here also in this thy house of prayer. O Lord, here is now a place that thou canst come, where thou canst cure that disease, where thou canst take away iniquity, and that thou canst wash it away in the fountain and that thou wast open for sin and for uncleanness. Oh, we beseech thee, Lord, that thou wouldst look then on us in this evening hour, when we are gathered together, and when we do not see by nature what we are. Oh, then those transgressions need to be opened unto us. We need eyes to be able to see them. What our wandering is as sheep, that we have wandered away from our Maker, and that we have left the right path, that we do no longer live for thy glory and for thy honor, that everything is for ourselves, that we do transgress thy holy law and blessed commandments moment by moment, that our hearts are so full of all the carnality and all the vanity and of the emptiness of this world, and that our hearts are not in heaven, where thou art and where thou sayest that our hearts should be. And so, Lord, each one of us, we are monuments of thy long-suffering day by day, that thou still dost spare us in the midst of this world. But oh, could it be that we also may be monuments of thy blessed saving grace? Oh, that thy Spirit may come now, that thy Spirit may instruct us for the first time or by renewal what lies within us, what we are in our very existence, what our heart is, what our disposition is, our sinful soul, our mind, our affections, and all our will, continually choosing that which we love and that we believe to make us happy. Oh Lord, we are corrupt from the crown of our heads to the sole of our feet. And we are worthy that thou wouldst bring upon us that which thou hast sentenced us to. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Lord, then it is that we are worthy of that threefold death. O Lord, that thou wouldst take it away in thy dear and only begotten Son. It is so easy for thee, for thou hast accomplished that great work already, and thy Spirit is so powerful, and it is more mighty than all of our resistance that we can resist thee. Oh, and thou wilt strike us with an arrow from above, and then we shall be brought unto the ground. When thou wilt speak one word from heaven unto a Pharisee, as we make ourselves to be, oh, then thou art able to show unto us what our wretchedness and what our sin is, and that it is hard for us to kick against the pricks, and that we do rebel against thee, the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. But Lord, thou art able to give to us a new heart, a new will, that to say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? O Lord, remember us then. Wilt thou look upon all thy people? Thou knowest the place they are also in this evening hour. And when there is a little desire by thy Spirit this night, when they have come, could it be, with a heart that has a little longing? Lord, that is not what we can give ourselves. There are others that have come up with a heart that is as hard as a stone tonight. And then they ask thee, Lord, could thou break it this evening hour? Could thou soften it? Could thou give a little tear in my soul to weep over mine iniquity, that I might see it and that I might mourn over it, and that thou mightest reveal unto me that way of salvation, and that thou wouldest show to me what I stand in need of further also, that thou may lead thy people further in the ways of thy grace, that thou may lead them unto that sacrifice, that they cannot miss upon that journey to meet thee and to stand before thee in that great day of days. Gladden us with thy deeds this night. Wilt thou remember thy word when it goes over the length and the breadth of this whole world? Lord, thou knowest, and that thou hast said it unto thine own disciples, that they must preach the gospel to every creature. O Lord, that thou may bring it also to the places where men are ignorant thereof, that there may be those that may come from those places also with weeping and with supplications, and that thou wouldest deliver from all iniquity. Remember our rulers and all that reign over us. Oh, give them to see what they must do before thee, what they are accountable for when they do stand in the judgment, that they could not miss also this offering, and that they may be brought to thy blessed footstool, to rule according to the will of the King of the Church. Remember all thy truly sent servants. Help them this day, this night. Give strength. Give thy blessing upon thy holy word. Open thy word. Remember all those that do labor in thy kingdom in whatever capacity that may be. Also upon the mission field, wilt thou look upon all the afflicted and the sick ones. Thou knowest the child that may come home again. Wilt thou heal further, and that thou may take away the pain and the discomfort, and that thou may instruct her in the days of her childhood, where that pain does come from, what we deserve, and how that the cause can be taken away. Those that receive treatments for the body, remember relatives also of those in our midst. And there are those that are receiving treatments or going to hospitals. Lord, make thou it well and supply for the needs of those that have become old and those also that are widows or widowers or orphans. Gladden us with thy deeds in this night. Be among us for a moment, Lord. Could it be in the preaching of thy word that we may receive a little freedom from above, that it may be for the sake of the glory of thy name, that it may be for the welfare of the souls of young and old together. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 302, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. The Lord unto his Christ hath said, in glory I enthrone thee, till all thy foes in triumph led, their sovereign king shall own thee. And what follows in the stanzas 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 302. beloved congregation, our life is a busy one. Mothers doing their duties in their houses, fathers going about their labors to support their households, our children going to school every day, our young people doing their labors in this world. Do we ever stop? Do we ever stop for a moment and look around us? Solomon was a great king. He had many responsibilities, but he stopped. And he looked about him, and then he took notice of what was happening all around him. What was that? He said, "One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh." Do we ever stop a moment and take notice and meditate upon that most important truth? There is nothing so sure as our death. If the Lord will spare the world for some time more, but who of us is preparing for that day? Or do we all just put that evil day far away from us? The apostle said that it is appointed for a man once to die, and after this, the judgment. We all know that. Everyone in the world knows that. Even those in the world who deny that still know that, because they have a conscience, and our conscience speaks, and it tells us that we have to give an account also for the things that no one sees in this world. Also for the things, boys and girls, that we think are secret, that mother and father do not know. Those are things that you and I feel in our conscience that the Lord does know. And thus there is guilt. That guilt is in our conscience. And we know that with our guilt, we have to stand before our Maker. There are many that believe that God is going to lower the standard of His law to a place that you and I can reach. That is, that God is going to look through His fingers at sin. That those things that are, we call maybe our shortcomings, that the Lord is going to pass over, and that we will not be brought for them into judgment. That indeed we must leave the city of destruction, but that we can find rest in the city of morality. If we will only live what is considered in this world to be a moral or a civil life, we find that nowhere in the Word of God. Neither is it possible, because God is just, because God is righteous, and because God is true to His own word. Solomon says that the Lord is going to bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. How, congregation, are we going to fare? in that day. In the day of our death. In the day that we have to stand before the judgment seat of God. Do we believe that that will be our condemnation? Do we believe that we will not be able to stand in that judgment? Not one of us in that day. Bunyan's pilgrim saw that. He saw that at Mount Sinai. There he saw that that law condemned him. There he saw that the Lord does not, for the sake of any man, lower that standard of his law. There everything and every possibility from his own side was cut off. Was that ever cut off in your life? And there was revealed unto him a different way. There was revealed unto him a new way. That was the way of grace. That is to receive it freely as a gift. To receive it as an undeserving, as an unworthy creature. The Lord showed him that. Oh, he rejoiced in that. Did the Lord show that ever to you? In the impossibility of your life. In the need of your life, with a burden on your back as Bunyan's pilgrim's burden was upon his back, which he said is threatening to sink me into Tophet, to sink me into hell. Oh, then we are taught something from the prophetic office of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we are taught by him. Even as disciples, they were also taught by him in those 3 years that he may minister unto them in the midst of this world. But was this now the end of the way for Bunyan's pilgrim? You say no. Actually, it is just the beginning. When he entered into that wicked gate, well, that was not the end of the way. No, that was the very entrance of the way. Thus, there is a way that is still before him in this world. That is a straight way. That is a narrow way. And the disciples of the Lord Jesus experienced the same thing. And then they had to experience in that time that the Lord was instructing them out of that prophetical office and the need for his priestly office. Does the Lord instruct us in that need? Because that is now what Good Friday is all about. And we wish with the Lord's help to consider something of that with you from our text, which you can find in the portion read to you, Luke 23, and thereof the verses 46 to 49. Luke 23, verses 46 to 49. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. And all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. So far the words of our text, which speak about the sacrifice of Christ. First, the offering. Second, the priest. And third, the worshipers. The sacrifice of Christ, first, the offering. Second, the priest. And third, the worshipers. Thus, the sacrifice of Christ. What is a sacrifice? What is an offering? When we sacrifice, and then we forfeit something, something that is of value to us, but we forfeit that thing for the sake of something which we believe is of more value unto us. Thus, when we make a sacrifice, then there is always a loss, but then there is a willing loss. We give up something. And why are we willing to give up something? We are willing because when we give that up, then we are protecting something, or we are gaining something that we believe is of more value than that thing which we have given up, that we have sacrificed. Thus, when the Lord Jesus clothed Adam and Eve, then there had to be a sacrifice. There had to be, because it was the skin of an animal. So there was an animal that had to be sacrificed, and he had to die. And then the Lord deemed the covering of Adam and Eve to be of more value than the life of that beast. We make sacrifices in this world. But then there are also religious sacrifices. They are very often in all the religions that we can find in this world. But that has begun very early also in the life of the true church. We think about Adam, we think about Cain and Abel, how that they brought their sacrifices, that they brought of the fruit of the field, and that they brought of Abel the firstlings of his flock. Then there was a loss. They had to give up something. And what for? Well, they did that to acknowledge the Lord for all of the gifts that he gives unto them. And so in such a sacrifice, that acknowledgement that is considered to be of greater value, that I may acknowledge the Lord than to hold on and keep in my grasp these things that I value in this world. Is that so also in your offerings? That the acknowledgement to the Lord for all that he gives to us, that is considered by us to be of greater value than all the things that we can give unto him. In the establishment of the Levitical priesthood, then the Lord required sacrifices of burnt offerings and sin offerings and trespass offerings and meat offerings and drink offerings, all kinds of sacrifices. They did not all have the same exact meaning. They did not all have the same exact purpose. But in general, the sacrifices that the Lord required of his people were typical. That means they were pointing. They were pointing to something further. And thus, because they were typical, the Lord has given also special rules about the sacrifices that he required of his people. then it had to be in the first place and in the most important place. Then we can read that the Lord said those sacrifices had to be without blemish. Why? Because of he to whom they were pointing. That he would be without blemish, both in body and in soul, in his walk here on the earth, in everything that lived within him. And thus, if those sacrifices had a blemish in them, then they were not truly depicting the sacrifice that they were typifying. We would say the anti-type. Israel did not always do this. Israel was not so faithful in this. Why? Because of our greed that lives in our heart. And you know what the Israelites did then, boys and girls? And sometimes they gave an animal that had a blemish. That had a blemish. Oh, they knew it had a blemish. But you know, that animal is only going to be slain anyway. That animal is not worth as much to me as now this animal that has no blemish. The firstling. And thus they would give a blemished animal. And thus the Lord complained about his own children. That he says that you do give unto me that which is not perfect. That you offer a polluted offering. He says, if you offer the blind for a sacrifice, is that not evil? If you offer the sick for a sacrifice, if you offer the lame for a sacrifice, is that not evil? Offer it now to thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee? Will he accept thy person? No, the Lord had to rebuke his own people. Why? Well, to offer such an animal. That was to say that to offer our best, that is not really worth it. The value of what I'm losing when I lose my best animal here, that value of what I'm losing that is greater than what I'm receiving, that is worth more than what I am receiving. And thus, when we offer the blemished, then we are undervaluing the blessing that the Lord is giving. And what blessings were they? Oh, they were spiritual blessings, were they not? That sacrifice was pointing to. They were thank offerings, but they were also sin offerings. They were also trespass offerings. They were burnt offerings. And thus, what were the blessings that were coming upon the children of Israel when they would offer such a sacrifice? They were spiritual blessings. They were blessings for their soul. And when they would offer a blemished animal, then they were saying that those blessings for their soul, that was not of a very high value. How is that for us? Are the blessings for our soul, are they now worth to us more than everything that we, the very best that we have, that we can possibly give unto the Lord? Of course, such a wickedness also lacked respect for the antitype of that sacrifice. It did not properly depict who that sacrifice would be. And now at the same time, as that these types were existing in the land of Israel, then that sacrifice was also being prophesied of. The Lord says by Isaiah that he will make his soul an offering for sin. And thus that offering was to be substitutionary. What does the Lord say? By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. There are many people in the world today and that do not believe this, that this is substitutionary. But that is, congregation, one of the greatest comforts of the church of God. Because people say that Christ is only a good example. How would that be for you? If Christ was only a good example for us, and he has set that example, and now we are to follow him, does that profit us? Oh, it is profitable that we may have that example set before us. But congregation, can you reach that height? Can we reach that height of perfection that holy and blessed example has set for us in this world? Or if it is so with us, as it was with the Apostle Paul, who said we are weak through the flesh, then it does not profit us to have a perfect example that we cannot reach, that we cannot imitate. That is a religion, congregation, that is so depressing. That is a religion which is sending every single person into condemnation. And if we experience in our life that we are weak through the flesh, or then we will come to understand in our heart that we may need more than an example. What do we need? We need a substitute. We need a substitute. Do you need a substitute? Do you say, now I need one who can stand in my place? Because if I were to have to go into that judgment, then I will be condemned. And there is nothing that I am able to do with such a wicked heart that lives within me, that I am ever able to come up to the standard of that law and the justice of God. Oh, did you ever feel in your life the necessity of a substitute? And having said thus, he gave up the ghost, thus his holy soul here departs from his holy body. Those two most intimate friends that the Lord has joined together, even in his only begotten Son, they are here rent from one another in death. This congregation is the holy offering. It is the life of the Son of God himself. It is fulfilling every type. It is fulfilling every prophecy concerning him in both the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Isaiah prophesied that he would be brought as a lamb unto the slaughter. And when John the Baptist saw him, he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God. So we have the sacrifice. And who now is the priest? That is our second thought. And we read of that priest also in the words of our text, because it says, And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Thus, who sacrificed this Lamb of God here? Well, congregation, we read here that he sacrificed himself. No one took the life of the Lamb of God away from him. No, we read here that he gave up the ghost. We read here that he cried before he gave up the ghost. We read that he cried with a loud voice. Did you ever see someone who was dying? Did you ever stand at a deathbed? And when you stand there, then it is possible that there is nothing anymore that you can hear from your loved one. And if there is something yet you can hear, then you have to put your ear very, very close. Because the body that is fading away and the strength of the body that is decreasing. And so we see here not a one who is fading away in his strength. We do not see here one who is being conquered even by death itself. We see here one who has retained his strength. We see here one who has immediately before and that he died, he has cried out with a loud voice. We read here, and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Thus, when a man dies, then he expires and his head falls. But that was not so here. First, the Lord Jesus bows his head, and then with all purpose and with all intention, the Lord Jesus gave up his own spirit. He gave up his own soul. The Lord Jesus himself had said that the Son of Man is come to give his life a ransom for many. Apostle Paul said that later. Who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot unto God. Thus Christ is not only the sacrifice, but Christ is also the priest. When he offered himself unto God, and he had spoken to his disciples before that thus it should be, because he said to them, I laid down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. He says, I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. That is not the power that a human being has. That is the power of the Son of God, who has the power over life and death of every single person. You and I, and he had that power also within himself and over himself. Oh, there is no greater testimony of the willingness of Christ to die than this testimony, that he himself did slay the burnt offering, that he offered up himself. And it is a testimony of his willingness not only, but also of his power. Do we have power to do that today? That is, to overcome what is so natural to the human being, that first law that the Lord has given unto us, that we want to hold on to our soul, that we want to hold on to our life, the very basic law of creation that Christ had to overcome in order that he may slay the burnt offering. Thus he had the power to do it. Thus he had also the willingness to do it. To be not only the priest, but to be the offering, and to give himself as Isaac gave himself as a type, when he gave himself into the hands of his father Abraham. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Are there any hands, congregation, that are better than the Father's to commend his spirit unto? He commended his spirit, he entrusted his spirit unto his own Father, trusting that his Father was going to give him that spirit back again, as was promised to him in 3 days, that he would give that spirit to enter again into his body, that he may be resurrected from the dead. Oh, if Christ has saw fit and so wise and so trusted his Father with his own spirit, oh, does it not behoove his church to trust their spirit unto him? Oh, when that day does come for them to lay down this body of sin and death, and in the moment of the good pleasure of his Father and your Father, and then to be able to say that I commend my spirit, that I commend my soul unto thee. That was bought for that church by the Lord Jesus Christ. David prophesied of this expectation. Moreover, he says, my soul did rest, my flesh shall rest in hope. Why? Because thou wilt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. That does not mean hell. It speaks about the grave. Then he said, the Lord will not leave my soul in the grave. And he speaks and he prophesies about the Lord Jesus Christ. That is now the hope of Christ. And when he commends his soul into the hand of his Father, and it was the hope of David, and when he also must go the way of all flesh, that he may commend his soul unto the Lord, and that the Lord is going to give that soul back unto him. In that moment of his good pleasure, when he shall come the second time without sin unto salvation, let us sing of it. From Psalter 29, stanzas 2 and 3, I keep before me still the Lord whom I have proved. At my right hand he guards from ill, and I shall not be moved. 2 and 3 of Psalter 29. the sacrifice of Christ. First, the offering. Second, the priest. And third, the worshippers. Why? Because the offering is brought on behalf of worshippers. And what do we read here? Who are now standing here by this altar? We read here of three persons or of three groups of persons. First, we read, now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. Thus first we have the centurion. When he saw what was done, and there are many things that were done here, we don't read them all here expounded by Luke, but when we see all of the Gospels together, then we know how that the sun was darkened. We can read that there was an earthquake and the rocks were rent. We heard here that there was a loud cry before he gave up the ghost. Now this hardened heathen centurion who has permitted his soldiers to abuse the Lord Jesus Christ, who has probably mocked along with them, this hardened heathen man is suddenly impressed. Certainly, this was a righteous man. And Matthew actually includes more around him. He says, them that were with him also. And he says that they feared greatly. And they said, truly, this was the Son of God. It does not take much for the Lord to close a mocking mouth and to make such a mouth to tremble. Luke says that he glorified God. That is not that he glorified God truly. That is himself, that he glorified God in his heart, but he did it with his mouth. Then he spoke the truth out of his own mouth. The Jews refused to confess that this was the Son of God. And when the Jews refused to confess it, the father of this son would extort that confession out of the mouth of the heathen. That was not by spiritual instruction. No, that was by natural instruction. All the things that they could see with their eyes. Oh, do we receive instruction from all the things that we can see with our eyes in the midst of this world? These heathen, these hardened men did receive instruction. They saw, they heard, and they understood in their minds by these things only. It was not enough for their soul, because now they feared. But it was nothing but a slavish fear. Is that what we also have in our heart? That is a judgment. If the Lord gives only slavish fear, and he is withholding that true tender fear of his name from our soul. But then it was not only the centurion and the soldiers, but also these people, the multitude, also fears. And all the people that came together to that site, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. There was impressions from everything and that was taking place. When the heavens and the earth, as it were shaking, the order of the creation, and then it is causing fear and impressions, maybe due to also much superstition that may be in their hearts. an impression of guilt. We have committed a gross public sin, a public crime, and thus they smite their breasts. Is that enough? Is that enough? No, that is not enough. That is common to every man in the whole world. It is common to an atheist. Only bring him into some trouble, and then he will fear and he will quake before the Lord. Conviction is not conversion. And now we finally read, and all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. All his acquaintance. We don't know exactly who they were. We know John was near to the cross. We don't read about the other disciples being there. Joseph and Nicodemus, of course, afterwards. But especially we read here in the Gospels about the women, that they have followed him from Galilee. So they are 150 kilometers away from home. And they receive more bravery than the men of these acquaintance and these women. We read they are standing afar off, beholding these things. We don't read anything that they said. We don't read that they make a confession with their mouth, like the centurion and the soldiers are making a confession about the Son of God. We don't read that. We don't read that they smite their breasts like that multitude. We only read that they are standing there. That they are standing, we read, afar off, and they're beholding. They cannot take their eyes off of that scene that is before them. Every detail with great interest, with great concern, they are watching these people that are here standing in the background, of whom we hear no great confession. These people that are standing afar off, watching, looking, beholding and saying nothing, are now the true worshipers. They don't dare to come near unto this altar. There is fear. There is fear of men, but there is another fear. It is the fear of God that is living in their heart. Do they understand it? No, they do not understand it. Do you understand it? What is going on in your heart, in your life? These acquaintance and these women that followed long way the Lord Jesus Christ, for them, it doesn't go right. No, it goes very, very wrong. The psalmist said, thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. And now these acquaintance, these women, they feel that. And these acquaintance and these women do not go away. They stand there. They are beholding. And they say nothing. Why? Because they don't have anything to say. Because they don't have anything to say. Do you not have anything to say anymore? Maybe you had things to say. And maybe you don't have anything to say anymore. That is the way it was with this acquaintance. And still, what keeps them there? Do you know what keeps them there? Love. Love. That love does not go away. A hypocrite congregation cannot come through this storm. A hypocrite cannot come through this trial. The way that this acquaintance and these women may come through this trial. Why not? Because in the hypocrite, the affections, the true affections are missing. For them, it is all based on the understanding. And when we don't understand anymore, then there is a departure. What does the Apostle Paul say? He says, love beareth all things. Love. That is why they're standing there still. That is why they haven't left. Love. That is here the glue. That is standing above all the understanding that is in the mind. And when the understanding that is in the mind comes to an end, and when it is all a mystery, and they do not know up from down anymore, then love remains. Love remains. And that is why they are standing. And all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. They followed him. They received instruction from him, prophetical office, for 3 years. Oh, how they delighted in that instruction of their master, of their Lord. Do you know what that is? They sat, congregation, at his blessed feet. And they loved to be there and to hear him speak, to speak of the Lord, to speak of himself, and to reveal the mysteries of salvation that they could not explain. Do you love to be there too? To sit under the prophetical office of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe, congregation, there are those here who are doing that with every opportunity that you can get, because you say to hear, oh, that instruction that is now so blessed, that is now so sweet unto me. There is no man that speaks like this man, and when I may hear just one word from him, oh, my soul that goes so out after him. Oh, there was a time that you did not desire his instruction. There was a time that you thought that you are going to do it from yourself. There was a time that you thought you yourself would make it right before the Lord. And the Lord has cut that off for you. And the Lord has cut that off at Sinai for you. Because the Lord has opened your eyes that there is no way anymore, that this wretched, that this sinful, that this abominable creature is able to fulfill that law of God. Then the Lord opened to you. Then the Lord revealed to you that new and living way, that way of grace. Oh, then the Lord brought you in at that gate, at that wicked gate. Oh, you may enter there. You may rejoice there when that child, he may be born in your soul. Oh, then you say, now I may know the way. Oh, that is, as it were, a great freedom. Oh, then you begin to walk on that way. When you are brought through that gate, and when you may travel, when that child may be born in that stable of your heart. And then what? Congregation, the reality remains. Do you know what was still there for Bunyan's pilgrim after he came in that gate and after that way was shown to him, or that it became possible for him? Do you know what was still on his back? That burden. That burden of guilt. That burden of sin. That was not yet taken away when he came through that entrance. Is that so with you too? You say, I may know this in my life. I am not a stranger of those things. The Lord knows that. But I also cannot die. I cannot stand before my judge. My guilt is not yet removed. Do you know what we need? We need not only the revelation of him, but we need the application. When we think of the children of Israel, then that blood had to be placed upon the doorposts of those houses. No, the revelation that is not enough for God's children. It is enough from the side of the Lord. It is not enough for God's children. Because then you say, I am still missing that rest. Oh, that rest may be there by moments in the exercises of faith. But now that rest that the Lord is giving unto the people of the Lord, when this acquaintance of Christ, when these women are standing there, and when they are beholding, and they are quiet, there is so much going through their mind. There is so much going through their heart. Everything that has taken place in the past 3 years, that is all going through them. That is a great turmoil. And now in those moments, they are being led into the necessity of the priestly office of the Lord Jesus Christ. You do not only need instruction. We need a priest. We need a sacrifice. Because if we have not a priest and we have not a sacrifice, We cannot stand in the judgment before God. And this congregation is a very difficult way. You understand that. To be led in. It's very difficult for those women. And for the disciples, everything that is happening. Why is that so difficult? Because it is a way of death. A way of death. And those moments they have to lose. All the gifts and everything that they have received from the Lord. It was still true. But it is no ground. It is no foundation for them. They cannot die with all the gifts that the Lord has given unto them. Are there those here also that say the same? With all that the Lord has given unto me, if I do not deceive myself, what now do I have? What do I have? We must come, congregation, into the court. Into the court. Do you know what we are going to experience when we are in the court? That all the things that the Lord has given to us in our life, and we have made a testimony of all those things, and we can say that at the bottom of our heart, that in the court it is no ground. Because the judge accepts nothing else but a sacrifice. Sacrifice. A surety. The transaction is between the Father, the judge, and the Son, the surety. And God's people are silent in that. They have not to do with that, except for one thing, that is to receive it. To receive it. That is the acquittal of the Father by the willing sacrifice of His Son, the priest. This acquaintance did not understand until the Lord led them. Do you know what the Lord Jesus said to His disciples before that? He says, I have many things to say unto you. But you cannot bear them now. That was right. They could not receive them yet. They could not understand them yet. What had to happen? They had to be led. In the way of experience. And that is only in being led. In the way of experience through such things. That His church is taught and that they come to understand. And in the trial, because that is a trial, love will keep them. It will be a mystery to them. A mystery to them. Everything upside down. And they will still stand there. Afar off. Afar off. Nothing to say. All kinds of questions living in their hearts. They cannot go away. And the Lord, through that love, is going to keep them. And then afterwards, then the Lord is going to open their understanding that they may understand the scriptures. It is congregation, such a wonder, is it not? Everything that is all taken care of by the Lord himself, that triune God, oh, that great high priest, has offered up himself. What a value that he has placed upon the salvation of his church, more than his own life, that he would sacrifice his own life for the deliverance of his people. What sin is greater than to despise such a priest and such a sacrifice? Can there be a greater sin in the whole world that we see no need and no beauty in him? Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, they are but a few simple words, but by thy Spirit they can be used, and it can come forth and out of thy mouth. O, look on us. Make thyself precious to us, as thou hast seen the preciousness of thy own people's deliverance, to give thyself for them in their place. O, humble us. Under all thy great goodness, break thou our hard and stony hearts and draw us unto thee. Dismiss us with thy blessing in this evening. Bring us safely home and with desire in thy house upon thy Sabbath day. Help us in preparing to bring thy word and all those that must bring it in these days. Forgive and take away our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 161, 1, 2, 4, and 5. My soul in silence waits for God. My Savior, he has proved, he only is my rock and tower. I never shall be moved. 1, 2, 4, and 5 of Psalter 161. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.